way. Huberto walks in, makes a move, and he scores! Jonathan Huberto! And he scores! Alexander Barkov! What a move! He's giving the Panthers the lead once again!
Welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. Here are your hosts, Jamison Olive and Doug Plakins.
Hey everybody, welcome to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers, presented as always by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. At the time of this recording, the Panthers, they are on a four-game win streak. They've scored the most goals in a four-game span in franchise history. So everything clicking for the Panthers right now. Doug Plakins, Jamison Olive here to talk about it. Our featured guest coming up in just a little bit from the Miami Herald. Covers the Panthers, does a great job there, covers a lot of things for the Miami Herald. Jordan McPherson going to stop by coming up in a little bit. As far as the Panthers are concerned, going on to a two-game road trip right now. They'll have the Dallas Stars coming up Thursday, tomorrow at the time of this recording, 8:30 Eastern. Saturday at 7, the Panthers will be on the road against the Carolina Hurricanes. Tuesday at 7, back home to take on the Vancouver Canucks at FLA Live Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. And, well, the Panthers playing some great hockey right now. We're going to have our predictions coming up a little bit later on the program. I believe I made up a little bit of ground on Mr. Jamison Olive this week, so we'll talk about that and more coming up in just a little bit. But, Jamison, this Panthers team, they're playing a fun brand of hockey. They came out of the pause, the layoff, the holiday break, all those things jumbled together, whatever you want to call it. They came out of it with arguably the strongest, knock on wood, healthiest lineup that they've had all season long, and they're seeing they're seeing everything come to fruition now with a four-game win streak.
Yeah, they're making that push for first place in the Atlantic. They could have had it the other night if the Lightning didn't also win, but they're right there. They have a couple games in hand. This is kind of like their second phase, I feel like, this season. They had the really hot start, then they kind of had that transitional period, and now here they are, kind of that second push this season, and it's just wild. It's wild when this team is hot, and they flip that switch, and all four lines are going, and the defense is being solid, being physical, and Bob's on top of his game. It is, it's so fun to watch, and they've been so good this season. Like you said, these last four games, so many goals, putting on such a show here for the fans at FLA Live Arena, and the crowd's been into it, and the crowd's been great, and the wave is back. That's how good this team is. This team is so good, they brought the wave back.
Yeah, when I see the wave, I think of the Pontiac Silverdome, and that place isn't standing anymore.
The wave was dead, and this team brought it back. And that's impressive, I think. That's how good they are. You don't do that when the team's losing. You have to be a really good, exciting team to get the wave out of retirement, I feel like.
Yeah, the wave came back, and the Panthers are winning hockey games, and I thought the win over Calgary was the biggest statement of the four-game win streak. The Rangers game was a great comeback. They were opportunistic against the Rangers, got the win there, went up against the under... You know, it was a great win against Tampa Bay. Anytime you can get a win against Tampa Bay, anytime you score 9, that's something to be, that's something to be excited about. It was an undermanned Tampa Bay Lightning group, but a win over the Lightning nonetheless. They beat a very undermanned Montreal Canadiens team that's at the bottom of the standings on Saturday, but those are games that you have to take care of if you want to win a division.
There's
if
no
you want
gimmies.
To make a run,
no gimmies.
You got to win those games, but the Calgary game, I thought that was the biggest statement because Calgary came in with really the fully loaded lineup.
Second best winning percentage in the
healthy.
West.
Really good road team. Daryl Sutter teams are always very stingy defensively, tough to beat. Coming out in the first period, it was a back-and-forth game. We saw chances at both sides. We saw both goaltenders tested. Calgary had that 2-1 lead, but in the second and third period, it was straight dominance from the Panthers. They just tilted the ice one way, and that was one of those games. You point to the special teams. The penalty kill was perfect. The Panthers scored on their first two power plays in that game, and that was really what swung things in the Panthers' favor. That huge saves from Sergei Bobrovsky and that insurance goal that Ryan Lomberg got late in the second period after the Panthers played such a good second period. You were just hoping that they'd get rewarded with a goal at some point. Ryan Lomberg ended up getting one in the final minute of that second period, and Panthers cruised on to a win. I thought the Calgary win was the biggest statement of that homestand.
And I think it might be kind of so far the shining moment for the Andrew Burnett era as well. I think he just had that team so prepared for that game, and he talked about it at Morning Skate, how basically the Flames are good at stopping everything the Panthers do well, which is, you know, score in transition, play that fast possession game, which they didn't do for the first real 20 minutes. That kind of opened up, you know, and kind of got back to that as the game kind of moved along and they took over. But in that first first period, you know, you look at the goals they scored, they were all from right in front of the net. They were all tips. They were all, you know, rebounds, things like that. And they adjusted the way they had to play this game in order to beat the Flames. And all the guys bought in and all the guys executed the game plan. And Bruno pushed all the right buttons. So I think there's so many heroes to go around, after that game against the Flames. But Andrew Burnett, big stick tap to him. I really like what he did, you know, both before that game and during that game for the Panthers. But one thing I'll say, too, and it's funny, you know, I was listening to the Bill Zito interview on the Athletic podcast that he did the other day. After he got off, the two hosts said, basically, the Panthers have become like the ESPN Plus team. Like, if you're not in Florida and you have ESPN Plus, which I hope all hockey fans do, like, these are the games you need to put on. The Panthers are just that fun, that exciting. Because I think if I had to, you know, if you and I were just walking down the street, we ran into a non-hockey fan, and we were trying to convince them how great hockey is, I would show them that game against the Flames, because even though, you know, the Panthers did win 6-2, it didn't feel that way.
Right.
It didn't feel like just a dominant, you know, lopsided, you know, rout of another team. The entire game was, you know, full 60, pedal to the metal, so many fast plays. It was fast, it was physical, there was skill. All the things you sometimes only get parts of in hockey games, it had everything. That game had everything that makes hockey good and fun. It even had the chippiness. It never boiled over into, like, pandemonium, but it had enough action after the whistles. It had enough jawing. And I think even plays that didn't work. I mean, the Mammon play. I don't know what you'd called on the radio for that one, but if he would have scored that, that might have been your crowning achievement in your career. And I think if you would have scored that, I think that would have surpassed the Barkov between the legs goal as maybe my favorite Panthers goal of all time. Sorry, Billy Lindsay. I think that Mamma goal would have been up there, because if you're listening now and haven't seen this, because maybe the highlight doesn't exist, I did clip it. It's on Twitter at Jameson Coop. But basically, Mammon comes back on the back check.
He might have even surprised himself during all that.
Steals the puck.
Got by everybody.
Goes coast to coast through the entire Flames roster and almost scores. It was almost pretty much the exact McDavid goal that turned the world upside down a couple weeks ago. So Maxine McMammon, I mean, out there doing all the things. And if Maxine Mammon can do plays like that on a Panthers team that has Huberto, Barkov, Duclair, Bennett, I could spend this whole episode just going through the whole roster. That's how you know things are working. And we talk about the depth and how good the depth of this team has been this year, and especially with COVID and so many guys coming in and out of the lineup, it's going to be the deep teams that are there at the end of the season. So the Panthers are built for the unusualness of this season.
Yeah, it was a 6-2 win, but it never felt like
a
blowout.
It never felt safe.
The Flames had 49 shots on net, yeah. and Sergei Bobrovsky made 47 saves, and he was outstanding. And the Flames battled to the very end. Sometimes, you know, a team gets down 5-2, 6-2 on the road in the third period, they might kind of fade away. The Flames didn't go away quietly. They were trying to generate offense up until the final horn. And you mentioned the physicality as well. The Flames, early on, they were trying to push the Panthers around. The game isn't the same as it was in the 80s and 90s, but intimidation is still a very important element, and that's why some of the teams that we've seen win Stanley Cups in recent years have won Stanley Cups, because they've been able to either dish it out or give it right back to you if you try to dish it out. The Flames were trying to push them around last night, and they've got some physical guys, and the Panthers were able to give it right back to them. As far as I'm concerned, between Radko Gudas on one side and Nikita Zadorov on the other side, you've got the two hardest hitters in the National Hockey League that were on each roster in that game last night.
And in that first period, Gudas, man, he
flattened Johnny Gaudreau, absolutely tattooed him.
Tattooed him and was probably attempted like 15 hip checks in that first period. Gudas was on a mission from the moment the puck dropped to kind of help the Panthers set the tone and, like you said, push back against that Flames physicality.
Yeah, they were trying to dish it out to the Panthers, and the Panthers are giving it right back to him. And we saw some scrums early on, and it was just a great statement win, I thought, for the Panthers against the Calgary Flames at FLA Live Arena to close out that homestand on Tuesday night. Territory Talk, as always, is presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. Why don't we segue now into our featured guest this week. Joining us from the Miami Herald, Jordan McPherson, stopping by for the first time ever here on Territory Talk. Well, joining us here on Territory Talk this week, covers the Panthers for the Miami Herald, covers the Panthers and a number of other assignments for the Miami Herald. Jordan McPherson, kind enough to stop by and take some time out for us. Jordan, first, just want to say thanks for your time. Thanks for stopping by. And, well, how exciting has it been for you covering the Panthers here on this nice little run they've been on?
Well, first off, thanks, Doug. Thanks, Jameson, for having me on. Been
your debut.
Trying to do this for a little while now. It's been a while trying to get this together, but yeah, this has been really fun covering this team this year. You look at what they're doing this 4-game win streak right now, and it's just a microcosm of the season overall. Really, really good at home. The offense has been spectacular. watching Sergei Bobrovsky take that step that we've really been wanting to see him take, doing that this year, it's been very fun covering this team in Sunrise.
And Jordan, you say it's fun, but I'm sure for you it's also a bit stressful. You do work for the Herald. You do have deadlines at times. How stressful have these comeback wins been for you when you have your story written and then suddenly 5 minutes later it's a completely different story?
Yeah, that part's not as much fun. But I can say it with certainty, David Wilson, my colleague at the Herald, we split time covering the Panthers. We've texted each other on a regular basis in the third period going, well, do you have your rewrite ready to go? And it's gotten to the point where we basically start anticipating having to have that comeback catch story in our back pocket. And it's come in handy having that sort of form story ready to go in case they make their comebacks, which, as we've seen, they have done very frequently this year.
Jordan, you and David Wilson have done great work covering the Panthers now for a couple of seasons. And just take us behind the scenes. Pull back the curtain a little bit. What's that interaction like? Do you guys have meetings? Do you have chit-chats, informal chit-chats on the fly? How do you guys talk behind the scenes about covering this team for the Miami Herald?
Yeah, so we look at the schedule, see when the Panthers are playing, see when our other responsibilities are going on. I'm primarily the Herald's Miami Marlins writer. So once spring training happens, so mid-February on, usually David takes the back half of the year. But up until then, the two of us just look at our schedules, figure out who's free when, who can get to practice, who can go to games, and try to make sure we're avoiding overlap with different features, different off-day stories. And so far, we found a pretty steady rhythm between the two of us. We've had a pretty good rapport. He helps me out on Marlins a lot, so we built this connection over the last 3 years, and it's made it very workable and very manageable to cover the Panthers on top of what else we do for the Herald.
Are there any hockey fans on the Marlins? I remember Steve Cishek years ago was. Is there any like outward hockey fans on the Marlins you're aware of?
Yeah, there are a couple. John Birdie, their utility infielder, he played hockey up in Michigan. Brian Anderson's a hockey fan. I know that both of them have been at a couple games before everything happened with COVID.
We're big BA guys over here.
We saw the walk-off sack fly a couple of years ago. It was one of the greatest sporting events Jameson and I have ever attended.
And then the Marlins round pick in 2020, Max Meyer. He's from Minnesota. He played hockey. He was a defenseman growing up in addition to being a pitcher. And he says that he was a Wild fan growing up, but now that he's down in South Florida, he is paying attention to the Panthers. So you potentially have another convert on the Marlins team to come as well.
And I know Jazz told Anton Lundell when Lundell threw out that first pitch that he's been to a couple games, and I love that photo, and I hope both guys turn into superstars. It looks like they are, because that's a great photo with Jazz and Anton.
Yeah, both of them are those youngsters that you hope become the next household names. Jazz is already starting to become that, just with the flair and the big plays and the swagger and the different color hair almost every other week. And then Anton Lundell, on a lesser sense for the Panthers right now, I mean, he's basically turning into what the Panthers hope to be. He's becoming sort of like a mini Alexander Barkov. I mean, you see what he's able to do on both sides of the ice. His offensive game is starting to come along. His defensive game has been fantastic since he made his debut. And you're really starting to see some strides in him, and there's no lack of confidence in Anton Lundell either. And that's been a really refreshing sight to see from a rookie trying to make his name in this deep forward group, and not just trying to make his name, he's showing up almost every game that he's out there.
And you just talked a lot about it, but I know you do have a story on Anton Lundell dropping today at the Miami Herald. That's a plug right there. Can't wait to read it. Going to read it right after we're done recording. But other than what you just said, maybe what jumped out to you when you were kind of doing your research and kind of going through your quotes and going through your numbers as you were writing that feature on Anton?
For me, it all circled on the quote that he gave us Tuesday at Morning Skate when I asked him where was the biggest area of growth or improvement that he saw in himself this year since he made his debut. And he started off with the basic, I didn't really know what to expect, how everything works on the ice and off the ice, so now I'm back to the schedule. And then he goes into how he knows every game's a battle. He knows that he wants to be the best every game. And then ended with, I want my bad games to be good games, so that my level in our games is always high. To hear a line like that from a 20-year-old, just that blew me away right from the start. And then when he also talked back, I think it was after the Tampa game, saying that I know I'm not where I need to be, but I'm in, but I'm on the right path. Him looking at the larger goal, even while he's relishing in the success that he's having as a rookie, just for him to have that foresight at such a young age in a time and era where everyone's so focused on the present, it showed me just the head that he has on his shoulders and that he has the right mindset, the right mentality moving forward that is going to help him with his trajectory as he continues his NHL career.
And you touched on it there, and it's the weirdest thing, and I don't think anyone that isn't around Anton as much as we are will get it as much, but he almost feels like when you're talking to him, I've done some one-on-one Q&As with him and stuff, he's kind of like covering himself in a sense. He kind of watches himself in the third person, I feel like, and critiques himself as if he wasn't, you know, himself. It's the weirdest thing, and I think that is, like you said, you mentioned there, why he is so good at recognizing his floor and his ceiling and where he needs to be. He kind of is his own critic, his own coach. I really don't know how to explain it, but it really is interesting to see.
It's interesting to see, and that's the best type of player that's the type of player you want on your team. You want the person who can self-examine himself and honestly and openly find his weaknesses and not just find them, but figure out what he needs to do to improve on them. And then also realize that, like you mentioned with the floor and ceiling, everyone talks about when you look at these prospects, these first round picks, everyone talks about their ceiling. Anton Lundell's trying to figure out what he can do to raise his floor so that even on his worst day, he's still a pretty good player. And if more players focus like that, you'd have a lot. The level of game would just continue to increase more than it already is.
Something else to that thought in just a moment, but I think the thing when I see Anton Lundell, one thing that always, I guess, just makes me think, when he was drafted, there was so much praise directed toward Bill Zito, toward the Panthers overall for that selection. And, you know, on draft day, everybody always loves their first-round picks, and there's all the great comparisons, and everybody's excited about the future and what could be, but you know, a month later, 6 months later, a year after that pick was made from around the whole hockey world, you continued to feel the same praise, if not more praise, directed toward the Panthers for that selection of Anton Lundell. And here he is. He's made such a splash. And Jordan, going off of what you said there a moment ago, the thing that really sticks out to me with Anton Lundell, and even the best rookies, you see their game, you see them play, and you know, you see those flashes of brilliance, but at the same time, you still see elements of their game where you look at them and you say, you know, you could tell he's a rookie. You could tell he's still 20. With Anton Lundell, from the first week that he stepped on the ice in the National Hockey League, he's looked like a guy who's been in the league for 8 years. And I want to know if you kind of get the same feeling. I don't think there's anything about his game, and he's going to get better. He is still just a young guy. But when he's out there playing against guys, you know, 10-plus years older than him, there's really nothing about his game that looks like a rookie. Do you feel that way when you watch him play?
I definitely do. And for me, the moment came that opening night against the Penguins when Panthers have not gone the PK 9 times, and he's the main guy. Him and Barkov are the two guys that are rolling out there as their main penalty killers. You're looking at a 20-year-old guy. You're giving him responsibility on the PK that early and that often, and that's continued throughout the season. And I think it helps just when you look at his experience before coming to the NHL, 17, 18 years old, playing in Liga and basically playing as a boy among men in Finland. He had that experience of having to play up even before he touched foot in America. And I feel like that's helped his game. And just his defensive IQ, I think, is what's helped him gain as much ice time as he has. You look at what he does on that end of the ice, and it's incredible. I mean, he's leading Panthers forwards in takeaways and block shots. He's their main guy in the PK. It's just, when you get that type of trust when you're able to put down the trust in a 20-year-old that early, it just shows of the signs of what's to come with him. And it's, again, you're seeing a guy who's playing a lot more mature than you would expect a 20-year-old to be playing.
And the reason we're talking about Anton Lundell so much, of course, like we said, Jordan has an Anton Lundell feature coming out at the Miami Herald today. And of course, the Miami Herald's website, go check it out, go read it. But Jordan, we spent a lot of time on Anton, but I want to give you the floor here for a second to just talk about any other guy. Obviously, we could go through the entire roster and we could talk about any guy on this roster for 15 minutes about how great they've been this season. But just if you want to highlight one other guy, maybe a guy that's really intrigued you this season, who would you say that is?
I'm going with Ryan Lomberg. I mean, He was a guy.
You're a man of the people. You're just making the people happy.
Oh, it helps with that way. I have to build some clout there as well. There's no doubt about that. But I mean, you look at just what he brings to the team. Again, he's that high energy guy. When he was basically was fighting for a roster spot, when you go back as early as a couple of years ago, when you look back at the shortened season last year, he was competing for that fourth line spot. He was going back and forth between whether he was starting, whether he was out, and he cemented a role. And when it gets to the point where a fourth line winger, a guy with three goals that the head coach calls as one of the heartbeats of the team, as they navigate through everything that's gone on over the last 6 weeks, the coaching change, the COVID outbreak, playing without a bunch of the top players on any given night, not knowing he's going to be there. When you're able to say a guy like a Ryan Lomberg is the heartbeat of our team because of what he brings on the ice every single shift, that means something in my book. And it's said a lot about what he does and what he brings to the club, the team. Plus, you got to respect the hair flip as well. That's just great.
I want to get in Jordan's book. How does one get in Jordan's book?
Well, again, you step up, you do your work, and...
So Doug and I are not getting in the book.
Oh, you guys are there. You keep the team going at practice every day. You guys keep everything live. Keep everything loose. Drain the energy. I give all the cliche coach speech here for both Doug Plagans and James Dolph. You both are up in there. You know that.
We play a full 60 here at Territory Talk.
We bring a lot to the table, I like to think. Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald, our guest here. Jordan, the Panthers obviously have been very successful on home ice. They've played a lot of games on home ice. That schedule is obviously going to balance out. The Panthers are going to have a heavy dose of road action moving forward in the season, as the schedule will have to balance out. For the Panthers, what is what's the biggest thing? If you had to name a hallmark trait of this team and something that's going to need to come into play for the Panthers to take this home show onto the road, what would you say the most important element, the most important hallmark trait for this team is as they, again, look to continue fighting for that top spot in the Atlantic?
I'll go with two things. First off is they got to stay as healthy as they can. Obviously, a lot of that road stretch where, again, they're 4-4-4 on the road, but they played the bulk of those wins when Alexander Barkov was missing time with first a knee injury, then the upper body injury. Anthony Duclair missed some time there. Gustav Forsling missed a few games here and there. So the main thing is if they can stay healthy and they can go into road games at full strength, they had – that first road trip where they went, 0-2-2, Sergei Bobrovsky missed the two games where they lost in regulation as well. So if they can go in as full strength as possible, that will definitely be a help as they go on this long road trip or this long extended stretch of road games that's going to be upcoming. And secondly, they got to get consistent work out of the power play. That's been one of their Achilles heels all year, despite how great the offense has been. We saw some positive signs on Tuesday. They got power play goals each of the first two times with the man advantage. It's just if they can get more consistent production there, I think that'll shore up some of those weak spots that we've been seeing when they're away from FLA Live Arena.
And Jordan, I got to ask, last one from me. When it comes to you and David Wilson, like you said, it's very unique. You guys really do kind of share this beat, tagging in and out, kind of a goaltending tandem, really, there at the Miami Herald. Is there one thing you guys just really, really agree on when it comes to the Panthers or disagree on? Like we said, you guys do go back and forth. Is there one thing you guys really spend a lot of time talking about when you're talking Cats?
Main thing is just it's fun watching this offense. Regardless of the situation, again, going to go back to the comeback Cats mantra that we talked about earlier in the show, just seeing that even when the team's down three goals going into the third period, we're both thinking, yeah, there's still a chance they're going to find a way to win this. Even we went back to opening night, David covered the opening night game, the 5-4 win, overtime win against the Penguins, and I remember texting him Ray's Ekblad scored the tying goal in third period and went, well, you got a good game going. And I think he gave me a response to me along the lines of, yeah, we're going to probably see this a lot this year. And so far, it's rung true.
Jordan McPherson of the Miami Herald, our guest here on Territory Talk. He's got a piece coming out in the Miami Herald today on Anton Lundell. At the time of this recording, it is Wednesday, so you can look for that one, folks. And for people online, even if you're listening to this after Wednesday. It's still there.
It doesn't go away.
It's still out there, so be sure to look for it. Jordan McPherson, our guest. Jordan, tell all the folks out there where they can find you.
They can find me on Twitter at J_McPherson1126. And then all my work is on MiamiHerald.com/sports.
Jordan McPherson, our guest. Jordan, we thank you very much for your time. Thanks for stopping by here on Territory Talk. Can't wait to talk to you again, and we will see you out at the arena very soon.
Thanks so much, guys.
Huge thanks to Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald. Does a great job covering the Panthers and all sorts of things for the Miami Herald. Territory Talk is always presented by Baptist Health, the official sports medicine provider of the Florida Panthers. So great conversation there. Look for his piece on Anton Lindell. That's going to be coming out today at the time of this recording on a Wednesday. So look for that. If you're listening to this after Wednesday, as we mentioned, it's the internet. It's not going anywhere. You'll be able to find the article. So go on there and check it out. But great to catch up with Jordan, and there is a lot of excitement from the fans to the players, the coaches, all the way through the media covering this team. Everybody's really enjoyed watching this team on a night-to-night basis.
Especially since the Dolphins season's kind of coming to an end here, and that they fell short, and I'm a Finns fan, so that's sad. But at the same time, everyone's saying, all right, Finns are done, let's hop on the Panthers bandwagon, and here we go. And it's a fun bandwagon. There's a lot going on. Drinks for everyone, good entertainment. It's a great time, so hop on the Panthers bandwagon. We could have a couple first-time listeners on this episode just because of how good the Panthers have been. So if you are a first-time listener, welcome to the show.
Territory Talk turning 200 yes, episodes old
today. I was going
to
save that for the end, but this is episode 200 of Territory Talk. How do you timeline things like that? Because I think more like date anniversaries than episode anniversaries. But if we're going for episodes, this is episode 200 of Territory Talk.
Can't believe we've
been
doing this for 200 years.
We have... We have done it every single week since we started, except 1 week. We only missed 1 week ever in 200, so almost 200 straight weeks of recording this podcast. Usually pretty much always you and I. Katie, of course, shout out. Jessica Blaylock, shout out. A couple people we got on here, recurring guests. But for the most part, it's been us. So big, big shout out. And there are people out there. There's a couple in the hundreds that have listened since episode one.
Yeah.
And over time, we picked up more and more. And the numbers are great. And you guys are great. And really appreciate all the listeners out there. But this has been fun. I mean, when we first started, Doug, we just had that little... We literally crowded around a little Yeti mic like it was a campfire. And we had Nick Bjugstad on the first episode.
Two of us, Nick Bjugstad and
a dream.
Makeshift setup and... Talking about Lord of the Rings characters or...
It was Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Come on.
Confusion on my part. Not well-versed in either subject.
And for the heck of it, Doug, you know what? Since we're getting nostalgic here, there are probably some people that haven't listened to that first episode. So just a quick little clip here from it, just going to see how far we've come. Here's a little clip of our interview with Nick Bjugstad from episode one, kind of talking about... I believe this was our first little game we played. He was sorting... his Panthers teammates into Harry Potter houses, because, of course, Bjuggie was a big Harry Potter fan. So here's just a little snippet of that. And if you want to go back, all these episodes, like you said, are still available. It's the internet. They all still exist. Go back, check out some of our previous interviews. There are some great ones there, and we really appreciate it, like I said, everyone tuning in. But here's a little snippet from episode one, 200 episodes ago.
So there are four houses in Harry Potter, obviously.
Yep, yep.
And when you come to Hogwarts,
no, two. That's yeah. bad.
When you come, when you well, we're gonna go over them. So you're freshies. Yeah, yeah. When you go to Hogwarts, you get assigned a house your first year, the Sorting Hat.
Yeah.
So you're gonna play the role of the Sorting Hat for us.
Yeah.
And assign some teammates into houses. But for a refresher course for all of us, here's the four houses. So first is Gryffindor. Which is what Harry Potter's in. That's bravery, daring, nerve, and chivalry.
Okay.
So that kind of sticks around with that.
Yeah.
Next is Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
Those are hard workers, dedicated people, patience, loyalty, and fair play.
I think I ate some of those for breakfast.
Yeah.
Ravenclaw, which is values intelligence, knowledge, and wit.
Yeah.
And then Slytherin, which is ambition, cunning, and resourcefulness.
Yeah, I'm not doing Slytherin. I don't like those guys. But I'm going probably, what was the second one? Hufflepuff.
Hard work, dedication, patience, and loyalty.
Yeah,
is that you? You're Hufflepuff?
Yeah, probably.
All right,
Hufflepuff.
So let's go through a couple names here. Alexander Barkov, where is he getting sorted?
He's a wizard. He's got to be, he's the Harry Potter of the NHL.
He's a Gryffindor?
He's
Harry?
A Gryffindor, yeah. I'd say he's Harry, yeah.
He's going to be the hero of the
We could call him Harry Potter. That's,
yeah. You can't just push off a nickname.
Oh, yeah. The Oggs didn't let that one stick. He was the only one that said that.
Next is going to be Roberto Luongo.
Roberto. What was the Slytherin description?
The Slytherin was ambition, cunning, and resourcefulness.
I guess... I can't put anyone in Slytherin. It's because I don't. Not a big fan. What was the third one?
Ravenclaw. Intelligence, knowledge, and wit.
Yeah, we'll go with that one.
He's a witty guy. He's witty. Especially on Twitter.
You follow him on Twitter. That's his thing. So yeah, that's Ravenclaw.
All right, Aaron Ekblad.
Oh, I might put him in Slytherin.
I was going to get you with that one. That's the one I thought you might throw in there.
Perfect. He's Slytherin.
He's Slytherin. He's got the look. He's slick back hair.
Yeah.
Next one is going to be Jonathan Huberto.
Yeah, he's kind of a wizard too. I'll put him right up there with Barky and Gryffindor.
So right now you're the only Hufflepuff. So just for this last one, who else would you think is a Hufflepuff on the team? Who's a Nick Bjugstad?
Maybe Sevier. I'd put Sevier in that category. Maybe Reimer, chuck him in there.
I can see that.
I didn't even know. I forgot Hufflepuff was even a category, but shows you how much I really know about Harry Potter.
Well, at least you know more than Doug Plagans, because I think if you haven't noticed, people, Doug Plagans hasn't been talking much recently, because I don't think he's ever seen Harry Potter.
I usually don't go a few minutes without saying anything, and we don't have much. I'm still trying to digest all the terminology here. I've got a sheet, I've got the four words, and I'm trying to figure out what they all mean. But I think we're making progress.
Well, Doug, fun to turn back the clock.
Memory lane,
and it's fun to keep going, and we're excited, and it's crazy to think all the guests we've got on here over the years and all the guys that, you know, we really enjoy talking to, and the multiple guests, and, you know, shout out Mackenzie Weegar, who I believe is now the all-time leader. He thinks he is, at least, and if not, he's going to be.
He's the leader in the locker room right now.
Yes, yep. So shout out to him, and we'll get him back on here before the season's over, but to all the guests, to all the listeners, it's been a really great ride, and we're looking forward to keep it going, and what a great time to have a podcast about the Panthers, when the Panthers are doing what they're currently doing right now, 22-7-4, just 1 point behind the Lightning with two games in hand for first place in the Atlantic Division. Big road trip coming up, coming back on Tuesday to play the Canucks at home, where the Panthers have won 18 of 21 games at home to start this. 18, Doug. I'm just going to keep it 18 of 21 games. How? We know how. We see this team. We watch them every day. But I feel like that's the biggest stat in the National Hockey League that no one's talking about, is 18 of 21 for the Panthers at home.
Yeah, they've been red hot at home. Also, kind of crazy to think about. The Panthers have played over half of their home schedule.
I believe they have the most home games.
Yeah, 41 home games in a schedule, and the Panthers they've played 21 of them. So there's going to be a lot of road games coming up through the rest of the season, no doubt about that. Something that's going to be a point of emphasis for the Panthers. But 18-3-0 at home, that'll get the job done.
Not bad.
Get that kind of clip going on home ice. Now the Panthers, really all you need to do is have a .500 clip on the road, and you're going to be fine, and maybe have a chance to win the division.
Craziest thing, too, you look at their opponents. I forget who the other one was, but two of those three losses were the Kraken and the Senators.
LA.
Yeah, so Every game's a challenge, but three of maybe...
But we're not talking cup contenders.
Yeah, not three non-cup contenders gave them the three losses at home, which goes, like we said, the game against Montreal the other night. Like, you can't sleep on anyone in this league, and of course, that Kings game, that was the pre-COVID break, you know, half the teams coming up from Charlotte game. But still, the caliber of teams they've beaten this year, and even just in this last stretch, beating the Rangers, who are now one of the top dogs in the NHL, the Lightning even missing some key players, that's a huge win. And of course, like we said, the Flames, you know, the toast of the West, or at least one of the toasts over there right now, they're taking care of business against all the big dogs, and that's really impressive.
Yeah, it's been a good run for the Panthers on home ice, so be sure to come out and check out this team in person. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. Next Panthers home game coming up Tuesday at 7 against the Vancouver Canucks, the revitalized, under Bruce Boudreau, Vancouver Canucks, who've been red hot. So that's going to be a fun matchup coming up on Tuesday evening. Jameson, before we put this 200th episode... before we put this 200th episode to bed, let's get back to the prediction segment. I picked up a couple of points this week.
I said
Alexander Barkov would score twice. He did. I get 2 points. I thought maybe I'd be able to squeeze a third point out of you, but you went back into the tape and you found out that we did declare it a 2-point
and I
prediction.
Failed. So now my lead is now down to 5-4. It's a 1-point lead.
You
are making up your ground. And for our listeners out there that play along, I had a question the other day. You do have to get, if you make multiple predictions in a week, they all have to come true to get points, because there was some confusion there. I had some fans DMing me saying they deserve some points, when actually that's not how it works. You got the bigger risk, the bigger the reward, but you can't just pick and choose.
The point system
is a very serious point system.
This is a very serious fly-by-night, made up on the fly, fly-by-the-seat-of-our-pants point system. So I want to make sure that nobody takes advantage.
There's a governing body for this point system.
The governing body here on Territory Talk. please don't take advantage of the free-flowing nature of this point system. It's week to week. It's in progress. It'll probably never be a perfect science. Jameson, I predicted first last week. What do you have this time?
Oh, what do I have this time? Well, before I was playing around for a couple weeks because I had a cushion, but now it's just 5-4 lead. I feel like I got to maybe go for some easy points again, but not too easy because I want to have some fun here. So let's see who we got coming up. Let's go through the schedule one more time.
You've got Dallas coming up tomorrow, Thursday night, and then at Carolina coming up on Saturday, back home for Vancouver on Tuesday.
So looking at the Canes, 23-7-1, and a great record against the Panthers last year. So obviously one of the best teams in the East along with the Panthers. I'm going to specifically go to that game, and I'm going to say the Panthers win that game, and Etu Luostarinen scores against his former team.
The Etu Luostarinen revenge matchup.
So not only will the Panthers beat the Hurricanes, but Etu will score a goal. How many points you give me for that? It's a tough matchup, and to call a goal like that, that's
and you're throwing all your eggs into one game.
Into one
basket.
Matchup, yes.
Give you a 3 for that?
That feels like a 3.
Feels
I'll
like a 3?
That. Feels like a 3.
I was almost going to say 2.5.
Because let's not forget,
first fractional points
Carolina's
in the history
also,
of this
last I checked, the best defensive team in the yep. league. So it's going to be tough to get that goal, too, as well. But I'm 3 points. There we go.
3 points. All right. I'll give you that.
I was trying to play it easy, and then I just did that.
I'm going to go. This is still a big achievement that I'm going to go for, yep. But at the same time, because of how he's played, it wouldn't be terribly surprising.
Okay.
I'm going to say that in these next 3 games, Anthony Duclair is going to score twice.
And I'll give you 2 points.
Okay.
I'll give you 2 points for that.
Sounds good.
I went really risky here. You went a little bit safer, so you could take the lead after
a little safer, but it's still, 2 goals in 3 games. It's still something.
I believe he has 4 in his last 3, so
yep.
he's been hot.
See, he's been hot and leads the team right now at the time of this recording with 13, picked up that deflection goal against Calgary. So we'll see how things play out. That's
like
the
we always say,
game.
Send us your predictions at Doug Plagans, at James Acoop on Twitter, and make sure, like we said, if you make multiples, they all got to come true to it for the points to count.
Send us anything. Questions, concerns, inquiries. What are some other things that people send? Pointers, tips, suggestions? At Doug Plagans, at Jameson Coop on Twitter. Looking forward to hearing from all of you. And once again, a big thanks to all of you who've tuned in, whether it's your first time or your 200th time listening to Territory Talk. We couldn't do it without you, the listeners, so thank you very much for being on board with us. As always, that's going to do it for us on this 200th episode of Territory Talk. For Jameson Olive, I'm Doug Plagans. We thank you for stopping by and listening. We thank Jordan McPherson from the Miami Herald for stopping by and being a part of this week's show. And folks, as always, you can find new material from us each and every Wednesday, wherever you listen, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We thank you very much for making Territory Talk a part of your listening week. This has been Territory Talk, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Territory Talk, the official podcast of the Florida Panthers. For all your Panthers news and information, follow FLA Panthers on Twitter.